Bucks Bikes, LaVogue's Bike Shop in Hoquiam. Thanks for coming back, man.
Absolutely. Great to be here. Thank you, Johnny, for inviting me.
How was the weather when you got here?
It was all right. It was all right. You know, again, once we were driving through Hoquiam, it was sunny, and it was like 72. Yeah. Once we crossed the line into Aberdeen, man,
yeah, it was just
south.
Cloudy and gray and raining. And
that's right.
So you brought another bike with you.
Absolutely.
And this one's quite muddy.
Yes, I have yet to clean this bike, as I should, you know, kind of like the mechanic's car is the last one to get worked on. So yeah. In this situation, mine is the last one to get cleaned. This bike is my gravel bike. So this particular bike I use for going out on the gravel roads, on the logging roads.
Logging roads, okay.
The Wenatchee area. In fact, it's still dirty from the last ride I did, which was up in Capitol Forest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we left from the Maima Mounds trailhead. And we cranked 15 miles into the forest and 15 miles back. It was actually a really great time. There's always a point of adventure when you come across a freshly logged area that was your trail through to cut to the next road. Mm-hmm. So
I noticed on this one, the handlebars are like the old 10-speed kind of handlebars, whereas other ones I've seen are like mountain bike handlebars. Now, why do these have that 10-speed looking handlebar? Is it just because? Or
that's right. Yep, just because different hand positions, that 10-speed style, you know, those drop bars. So you can have your hands up high, kind of flat. You can have your hands forward on the shifter brake lever unit, which we call the hoods. Or you can have your hands down in the drops, drop down for a little more aerodynamic position. So like on long straightaways or maybe a higher speed situation to put my hands down in the drops and go. I also like descending with my hands kind of on the drops, but my fingers forward on the brake levers. So these types of handlebars, just different hand positions where you're not necessarily having like, you know, fast twitch reflexes like on a mountain bike where you're following the trail winding through the trees. This one, you know, you're out on the road, especially the gravel, and you're just looking to get some miles in time.
I don't see any shifters on this bike.
Yes, they're kind of hidden a little bit. So the levers, this bike only has gears in the back, so we call that a one-by drivetrain, and the shifter is only on the right side for just the rear, and that shifter is tucked right behind that rear brake lever. And this is a SRAM-branded model, SRAM Rival, and that little tiny paddle you see, that's the one that changes those gears.
Wow, that's pretty fancy.
It's pretty sweet. You know, you get into that muscle memory, and things just work great when you're out there on the roads.
Okay. Any new trails or anything that you could tell us about?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, so I do a lot of the mapping up in, again, Wenatchee Lake is kind of my favorite area.
Yeah.
And in preparations for the Gravel Unravel race, which is July 22nd at Wenatchee Lake, we have four distances. There's the micro, just around the lake, 18 miles. There's the short, which is like 25 miles. You go around the lake and then a little detour. And the medium is 60 and the long is 84 miles.
Wow.
It's awesome. And so in that mapping, the new route, not necessarily a new trail, but just a newly discovered route that I'm going to encourage a lot of people to go explore, is riding from Satsup Center, which is the campground there run by Wilderness Adventures, and you go up to Spider Lake and back. It's 15 miles up to Spider Lake and then 15 miles back. It's a beautiful, beautiful ride. I'm waiting for the snow to melt a little bit more so then I can take my bike up there and go up there and back. It's that whole area is gorgeous. And so a friend asked me about Spider Lake, and I said, oh, let me go investigate that for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're routing and mapping, how do you do that? Do you just kind of just wing it, or...?
A little bit, just wing it.
Yeah.
Mostly I rely on a software called Ride with GPS. Mm-hmm. They have a desktop version, like, you know, web page version, and they also have an app. Mm-hmm. And that website and that software, I can kind of draw on the roads and on the maps, as long as the maps are correct.
Right.
There are,
and they're current.
That's right. Yeah. There are some roads that are not labeled correctly, or maybe they don't exist at all, so I kind of have to, like, draw by dropping points. And so I look at the map, look at other people's GPS, because I can see like a heat map. I can see where other GPS devices have routed through.
Oh, wow.
So then I kind of link them together. I look at mileage, I look at elevation gain, and I look at what I know is possible, and also try to discover what I have yet to learn is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Once I put all that stuff together and I say, hey, just like Spider Lakes, okay, I know that people drive from essentially Satsup Center over to the Skokomish side. If you go past Spider Lake, you get all the way over to the High Steel Bridge. You can drop into the Skokomish side of the forest. I've yet to go that far. So I know that this route is possible. Once I get it all loaded up, then I use what I brought in here today, my bike computer. This is a Wahoo Roam. And just as kind of this one is fresh out of the package, shows you kind of the map that's kind of superimposed on there as a you know, static display.
Can't you use your phone?
You can, but here's the big hang-up. This is where I get really particular. Your phone is your phone. It is your communication device, especially these new iPhones that have like the SOS feature where you don't have to have cell reception. It sends a signal out for SOS via GPS. Do not drain your emergency contact device simply because you don't know where you're going.
Keep your phone in case you need to call someone for help.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And these bike computers have a much longer battery life. You can upload these routes. So that's what I do. I upload the routes onto my computer, and I use this as my navigation tool and go and I explore. I keep my phone, you know, sometimes even turned off. If I'm in an area with no cell service, or I'll turn on airplane mode and conserve the battery and just tuck it in my bags. I've got all these bags on my bike where I can store things.
Right.
So that's a super hypercritical thing for safety. I like to pinpoint for people.
Okay. And you have different models of these little computers?
We do, absolutely. So one of the brands that I really enjoy is Wahoo Fitness. So this is the Roam. This guy retails for, what are we doing, $380. It's got a nice big colored screen. There's also the smaller computer, and I'm blanking on the name, that from Wahoo as well. So Wahoo does computers, they do little sensors. So on my bike, I have a speed sensor strapped onto the wheel. I have a cadence sensor strapped onto the crank arms, the pedals, and I also wear a heart rate strap. So I'm collecting all this data when I'm riding, just so I know that I'm not, like, you know, burning myself out too soon or not working hard enough, essentially. There are other brands as well. Garmin also has a lot of bike computers, the same kind of accessories, and it'll do much the same thing. You know, it's kind of, you know, Chevy or Ford, essentially, at this point.
Yeah.
I like Wahoo because it does two different types of wireless connections. One, Bluetooth, everyone knows, but also Ant Plus. Ant Plus is kind of a little a less clogged medium for transmitting this data and this connection. What's really great is, let's say, you know, we aren't ready for that step to invest into a bike computer, or maybe we just aren't doing those big rides where, you know, we're out there for 8 hours with no cell service. You can still use your phone via the Wahoo app and do much the same thing. And that's where, again, I like conserving my phone for emergency contact, but I'm not everyone. And to give yourself this experience of navigation and what the bike computer can do, downloading the Wahoo app, putting it up on your phone and getting a nice phone mount on your bike is absolutely okay, practical, and useful.
We're having a good time here with Buck, LaVogue's bike shop in Hoquiam. And, you know, during that break, you were showing me some of the gear. I thought something was a shock, and it's not a shock. You took it off, and what is that little thing?
Yeah, so this is my kind of self-rescue stuff. This is a pump and a multi-tool. It's an all-in-one device from 1UP Components called the EDC, the Everyday Carry. And this is one of their larger chambered pumps, and there's a little cavity on the handle, and that's where this multi-tool kind of slides in.
Yeah, you got
there.
All sorts of stuff tucked away in that.
Absolutely. I mean, just like I don't want to get caught with a dead cell phone out there, I don't want to get caught without the ability to repair my flat tire or inflate my tire if I get a flat. Or, you know, maybe I, heaven forbid, I wipe out, you know. I never crash, right? But, you know, problems happen. It's just a matter of time, right? And so this helps me keep well-equipped and ready and prepared. So in my bag also, you know, I've got right in here a little bottle of sealant. My tires are tubeless. There's no inner tube in there. I just have the valve mounted on the rim, the tire mounted on the rim, and the sealant is what's rolling around in there. So I keep an extra bottle, 2 ounces, mm-hmm. just in case I need it. Maybe get a big slash and I have to repair it, put some more sealant in there maybe. I've also got my CO2 inflator device, so I have kind of 2 inflator devices. I have my pump, which I can just, you know, pump by hand, kind of pretty standard. It's just a small device, but I also have my CO2 inflator.
Yeah.
The CO2 inflator is mostly for other riders. Like, I'll sacrifice that helping someone else out rather than helping myself out first.
Right. Here, I can get your tire for it. Shh, boom, see ya.
Yep, that's right.
I noticed, like, the bags on your bikes, they're, like, longer. You know, back in the day, you had these big backpacks on the back of your bike, and that doesn't seem like the case anymore.
They are definitely still around. So those big bulky bags, panniers, mm-hmm. or panniers, if you're really French, the panniers, those are great for carrying a lot of gear. And mm-hmm. you don't have to be very strategic about it. You just stuff it full and go. And so mm-hmm. we see here in Grace Harbor, we see a lot of these touring cyclists that are coming down the coast from mm-hmm. Canada to Mexico. And they're just riding on the roads. You know, they're not trying to be as efficient for the off-road scenario.
Yeah.
As I am. So these bags that I have, you know, I've got them strategically placed, right? I've got this frame bag inside the frame just below the top tube. I have another smaller bag just above the top tube behind the handlebars. And then I have this kind of out front mounted one, which is my favorite bag this mm-hmm. so far. This is the Salsa EXP Anything out front. And my favorite bag right now in there is rolled up my coat, just in case. Some of our friends last week, they had an emergency. I can't remember if they're riding in the Campbell Grove area, middle Washington, kind of on gravel roads. And they had a rider go down, and they had to stop and help out that rider. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that'll happen, especially this time of year, is you're going to get cold. Mm-hmm. So I carry all the gear to stay warm. I bring the extra jacket, even though I'm not going to be cold on my ride. Mm-hmm. If I have to stop for a long time or have to help someone else out, mm-hmm. I have that. Actually, on the other side of my bag, I have 2 inner tubes, all of my food garbage, which I probably should empty out. You know,
yeah.
Just like a gym bag. It gets kind of gross.
Right.
And I have an emergency blanket in there. I've got a space blanket in there.
Wow.
Always riding, you know, being prepared, kind of hailing back to my Boy Scout days, I guess.
Right.
But this is very, very typical for a gravel ride setup. Even this orange Violi strap on the back of my bike is just there in case I need it.
Yeah.
And most specifically, you know, I've got this rear light. And this kind of reminds me of another technology that's out there for the bike computers is we absolutely recommend, and it's legal at certain times of the day, that you have a rear light on your bike when you're riding.
Mm-hmm.
In Grays Harbor County, the city of Aberdeen, I know for certainly, they require a operating rear light mm-hmm. on your bike at night and a headlight attached to your bike mm-hmm. out in front. And so on my bike here, I have my rear tail light. Not that I'm going to have the thing flashing when I'm out there on the gravel roads, but when I pop out onto some of the actual county roads or some mm-hmm. of the highways, then I turn it on so I can be seen. And what I don't have yet, I've been really interested in, is this new device from Garmin, the mm-hmm. other brand of bike computers. Mm-hmm. It's called the Varia Radar Tail Light. This thing is super, super slick. I've ridden now twice with people who have it, and mm-hmm. it is the most handy piece of gear. The radar tail light will tell you when a vehicle is approaching from a good ways back, like mm-hmm. 200 or 300 yards easily.
Wow.
And that helps everyone in that situation. Helps the riders be aware that a vehicle is coming up behind you, so you mm-hmm. can kind of really hug that fog line a little bit more, mm-hmm. or at least just be aware. It'll tell you how fast, if a car is coming up on you really, really quickly, so mm-hmm. again, you have more time to be prepared. And it makes sure that you're not being an obstacle or of an additional concern to the drivers.
Right.
It just keeps everyone aware. It is my favorite piece of gear. I'm looking forward to having those in the shop here very soon. Again, that's a device from Garmin, the Varia Radar Tail Light.
So the lights, let's say, hey, you know, I'm a kind of hobbyist rider. I don't ride a lot, but I didn't know that I needed the head and tail light kind of thing. Can you install that?
Absolutely. And we have a lot of great headlight, taillight options
mm-hmm.
from the most simple, just a LED battery operated, a couple AAA batteries, you know, $15, $18.
Mm-hmm.
Keep you safe and keep you legal. Safety is paramount. You want to be seen when you're out there on the roads.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I remember when I was a kid, and I know technology has changed so much since, you know, however many years ago, it was a little, like, switch that put this little thing that went against your tire, and then your tire going would spin that little thing. It's like a little alternator that would power your light. You know what ancient technology I'm talking about?
Not so ancient. Still in use today.
Oh, is it?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, yeah, the little friction roller, put it on the tire, and it generates. There is a new one. One of my favorite little devices for, like, the urban bikes, you know, getting your groceries and whatnot, is Shimano makes a hub that now the dyno, that thing, is inside of the hub.
Oh, wow.
So you don't have to fiddle with the switch. You don't have to make sure your tire's inflated or it's properly placed. It's just in the hub.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Because then it turns on as soon as it's spinning fast enough, turns on your headlight, turns on your taillight. We see those a lot of the in the Electra Townie bikes owned by Trek, that they have these little dyno hubs. They're awesome.
Okay.
You don't have to think about it. It's all integrated.
Right. One of the things that, like, stopped us from riding is we had the girls, you know, they were babies. And, you know, unless you wanted to, you know, get that big trailer that, you know, do you have any options now?
Absolutely. Trailers are still there. Trailers are still a good option, but there's a couple really fun products out there. Thule, T-H-U-L-E. Thule makes these child carriers that are like the more modern, more sleek, more comfortable version of those classic mounted the kid on the back right behind your seat.
Yeah.
You know? So there are those types. Then there's a mount that you can put in front of in front of your seat behind the handlebars. So then the child is up front.
I could have had both.
You totally could.
On one.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah. I've done that.
Yeah?
With my boys. Yeah.
Nice.
It's a pretty good time. And then there's two of my favorite devices. One of them is kind of like a trailer, but it's kind of a half of a bike.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called the WeHoo. WeHoo is this company, W-E-E-H-O-O.
Mm-hmm.
They make this trailer bike thing. And then you can put one out in the front, too. It's awesome.
Hey, we're talking with Buck from Buck's Bikes. This is LaVogue's Cyclery, or the bike shop in Hoquiam. From Buck's Bikes, LaVogue's bike shop in Hoquiam. We're kind of just talking about biking, man. Got a lot of bike paths now?
A little bit. And I say a little bit because, you know, Grays Harbor County, we are kind of a little young for our cycling development. And that's one of the big things that the LaVogue Cyclery, we are absolutely focused on, is improving the cycling infrastructure as well as the cycling culture for Grays Harbor.
Right. Plus, it's, like, healthy and good for the environment, right?
It has so many benefits. And the first and foremost is your health, your physical health, your mental health. And, yeah, you know, less cars on the road is always kind of a good thing, you know. But the biggest thing is having a safe place to ride, you know. So we are looking at implementing some projects and some programs that we know are successful in other, you know, larger cities and other metropolitan areas, other communities. And those are just safe paths.
It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
You might have already discussed this, but has there been any rumblings about getting the ride around Lake Quinault going again post-COVID?
Excellent question. And, you know, kind of a goal of mine for sure. I haven't been able to get in contact with the past organizers, but there is absolutely interest enough that Lake Quinault Cancer Ride, the ride around the lake, should be happening again. It's just a matter of getting the organizers back on board.
Yeah, because, you know, maybe I'll contact you at the store because I'd be more than willing to volunteer to help. I've done it, I think, 20 years now, so.
Outstanding. Yeah, do that, please. Come on by, and we'll figure out how we can get that up and going again.
Yep, that's always been a wonderful ride, so I just hadn't heard anything. I thought you might have some insight.
That's the insight I have at this time, anyways.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. I got an email. Does the bike shop carry electric bikes?
Absolutely, we do. You know, the electric bikes... More butts on bikes, that's what I say. You know, out there in the cycling community, the mountain bikers, they're like, oh, you know, electric bike is cheating. They're like, well, okay, come to the shop and tell me that, you know, the customer we have who's a leg amputee is cheating. Like, no, she's out riding, staying active.
Right.
So e-bikes, absolutely, we have them. We have everything from your commuting type of e-bike to full suspension mountain bikes where you can, instead of shuttling in your car, you just jump on your e-bike, pedal up, and come ripping down the trails. Mm-hmm. And we also have fat tire e-bikes by Quiet Cat. So you hunters out there, you guys looking to get further out there in the forest, as long as your landowner allows it, we've got e-bikes especially for you.
How about, you said commuting. I mean, are there e-bikes out there that can, you know, 20-mile drive or ride to work?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, most of our e-bikes are of a pedal assist function. Mm-hmm. So you still have to pedal. You still have to crank. So it's not doing all the work for you. Mm-hmm. And depending on how you use that assistance, some of these e-bikes, they'll help you along for up to like 60, 80, 90 miles.
Wow.
You know, if you're using just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that depends on, you know, how many hills you got, how fast you're going, how hard you're cranking.
Okay. Do you have used bikes?
We have a large collection of used bikes.
Okay.
We haven't been able to dive fully into our used bike program. Mm-hmm. In time, we will be able to, you know, buy used bikes, take trade-ins, sell used bikes.
Right.
The used bikes we have right now are mostly pre-2005. Mm-hmm. We have a ton of Schwinn bikes. Yeah. We've got some vintage ones, and so as we get organized, we have them. But if you're looking for a used bike, you know, between $100 and $250, come on by. We've got a lot of options. It's a little disorganized, but we still
You're just kind of getting situated and getting things going.
We are. We're balancing this massive restoration of the LaVogue bike shop. You know, we're catching up on repairs. We're trying to get new inventory on the floor, organizing our used bikes. And in fact, that's one of the things we've been seeing recently is on days where we have like really nice weather, we get flooded with repairs, which is great. And that's a great problem to have for us, you know, to be able to like, okay, we need to crank out all these repairs. But for you riders out there, for you folks that have those bikes in your garage, in your shed, maybe it needs a little attention.
Yeah.
Bring them in sooner, so then the repairs are done, your bike is ready for when the nicer weather comes.
Right.
Rather than being reactionary to the nice weather, I want to ride my bike, oh, now I can't.
Right.
Bring it in.
Bring it in on a rainy day.
Yes, absolutely.
It probably depends on a lot of things, but what's the turnaround on repairs? I know it usually depends on the type of repair and how many people you have in front of you, and I mean, is there an average? Like, it takes a day or a week or a month or...
Right now, we are about 5 weeks out on our repairs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is only going to increase as more and more people bring their bikes in.
Right.
And I understand, you know, that's not the most encouraging thing to hear when you bring it on a nice sunny Saturday. Well, it's going to be 4 weeks. Well, I want to ride today.
Right.
I understand.
Yeah.
But you get your bike in sooner, we'll get it in the queue, so then it is done for when that good weather comes. Yeah, it takes time, and we have our professional mechanics freshly certified from the UBI bike school.
Mm-hmm.
We will do it right.
Nice.
Do it fully. We got you.
So bring my daughter's bike in now so it'll be ready when it's ready.
That's right. That's right. Ready hopefully in time by spring break. I mean, that's the timeline we're at. You know, March is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Spring break is a month away now. So you want your stuff in time for spring break? Please bring it in.
And, you know, she got a gifted bike. You know, God bless grandmas. And I hate to say, you know, you get what you pay for. And the gearing, I can have a hard time changing gears in it. And it's a little girl's bike. Okay, that might be saying something about me, but... but it's when you see it, when I bring it in, and you're going to go, okay, yeah, there's definitely something wrong here.
And we can fix it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, that's the biggest frustration. You know, in my college days, I picked up a bike overhead and I threw it in a dumpster because it wasn't shifting right, like gears weren't working. If I could have, like, you know, go back and you know, told myself, no, you're going to be working on these things. You're going to be solving all these problems. I probably wouldn't have chucked it away. But it can be so frustrating.
Right.
But, like, come on into the bike shop.
Mm-hmm.
We will tell you absolutely what your bike needs. And, you know, we tell our customers, be prepared to spend about, you know, $60 to $120 each year in maintenance. I know what a lot of folks are responding to right now. Well, that's almost the price of a new bike from some of these big box companies.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, you just said it, Johnny. Get what you pay for.
Right.
You know, those bikes, we get them in all the time.
Do you?
And they're always working.
You get the Huffies in there, and
Which is a shame because those are such good names. You know, when we see Schwinn bikes today, they are not what they were 60 years ago. And it's unfortunate.
Right.
And, you know, ride what you are able to. You know, a bike is a bike.
Right. If you got a Huffy, ride it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We love it. We love seeing things coming in that are just absolutely, we say, clapped out, where they're just used and broken from their use.
From use.
We love seeing that because we know that you're out there using your equipment. We'll fix it. That's what we're here for.
Do you get any of those kind of classic trikes, those bicycles with the three big wheels instead of two big wheels?
Absolutely. Yeah? And that's a great point. You know, the kind of the adaptive bicycles, you know, for balance needs, for function needs, we have those. We have trikes for youth. We have trikes for adults. We also have access to these recumbent bikes. So, again, your body type, if that's what you need, we'll fit you up. Absolutely.
Do they make four-wheeled bikes now?
They do. You know, actually, we had the pleasure of working on a device. Those ones are a little more unique to function properly, you know. And we're not talking about those big Surrey four-wheel bikes that, you know, were used to be in Ocean Shores all over.
Right.
A functional four-wheel bicycle, there's one out there called the Rig.
Yeah?
The Rig was created by a husband for his wife who, I can't remember if she had cerebral palsy, but it's a four-wheel electric bike, doesn't require pedaling, doesn't require balance. And so this gentleman, he lives up in Quinault, he had this Rig, came in, was looking to put a rifle mount on it, gun rack on it. Of course, you want to keep doing your old activities.
Right.
And it was super cool to see that thing because there are bicycles out there for everyone, for all shapes, all sizes, all functions. There's hand bikes
where you pedal with your hands, right?
That's right. Yeah, you know you might have some lower limb dysfunction.
Nice.
Hand crank it out. Absolutely.
I've seen some bikes around here where they're like laying in it, you know, they're like laying on the bike, they're still pedaling with their feet, and it's still a bike, but it's not. Have you seen those?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And we work on those.
Okay.
We call those recumbents.
Okay.
So you're reclined backwards. You know? Those are exceptionally great for folks who have like spine issues, lower back issues, just hip issues, because it takes a lot of that stress. I mean, we're looking at my gravel bike here. I'm in a very aggressive, athletic stance. You know, I'm leaning forward. I've got pressure in certain parts of my body that, for a lot of other folks, they can't handle it.
Right.
You know? And so those recumbent bikes, laying back down, your feet are out forward, your body is in a more relaxed stance.
I can take a nap.
Almost. Almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. And again, it just gets more people out there riding. And that's what we're all about.
Any new happenings around here with bikes or trails or opportunities or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's kind of, I mentioned earlier, you know, there's not a lot of cycling infrastructure currently. And we've got our eyes on a couple projects that can improve that.
Yeah. Oh, let's take this call. It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Buck. I was curious. When I was a kid, my grandpa bought me a brand new Schwinn bike, but it was a heavy-duty one. It had the knee action, and it had the spokes that were like motorcycle spokes, and it had knobby tires on it. You know, I have never seen one of those since. So I'm just curious, do they have bike shows around?
They do. We call those a lot of times swap meets, so bicycle swap meets. And go into some of those, and I cannot for the life of me remember when exactly the one would be in Seattle. Bike swap, kind of some of the BMX stuff. Those guys are, you know, they deal with a lot of vintage things. Would be a great place to do that. And I'll have to look up when that is. So come on in the shop, and hopefully I'll find out some information for you.
Yeah, I looked on the computer to see if I could find that bike anymore, but I never can find it, you know.
Do you still have yours?
No, I don't. I wish I did. It had the knee action, you know, the spring in the front, you know, and it had the knobby tires, but it had the motorcycle spokes, you know, heavy spokes on it.
Yeah.
I had a paper route over here in Southside. I delivered the Oregonian for a couple of years. And
nice.
And I don't know. Well, it was a good bike. It was a duty.
Yeah, come on by the shop, and hopefully we can figure it out together, or at least point in the direction of people who might know.
Because most of these streets over here in Southside were all gravel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay, thanks for the call. 360-533-5259, text, message, or email. That's Johnny at Jodesha.com. So you were talking about, like, opportunities and bike infrastructure and...
Right, yeah. I mean, we just need nice, safe places to ride. Mm-hmm. And so there are a couple big community projects happening, you know, in the next upcoming years. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, you know, the levee project, mm-hmm. Which will, you know, help with our flooding and help with our flood insurance and home values and all those things.
Right.
And, you know, me, I acknowledge and I recognize those things, but of course, my cycling mind, I'm mm-hmm. honed in on what are they going to put on top of this levee.
Right, maybe a bike path.
I sure hope so.
Right.
And so that would create, again, a connection all throughout, you know, Aberdeen and into Hoquiam mm-hmm. that will be, you know, removed from cars. Because some of the biggest problems we see is we see municipalities providing bike lanes, mm-hmm. but they're conjoining them with vehicles. And we don't necessarily need, or is it the safest, to have all of the traffic in one spot only. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, the cars they've got Simpson and Sumner all through town, right?
Right.
Let's put the bikes on a couple side streets.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be a bother or a public nuisance. In mm-hmm. fact, they're going to feel safer, more confident, knowing that, let's say, for example, Cherry Street, mm-hmm. which goes all the way from the Spray Park all the way to Riverside there, mm-hmm. kind of by the farmer's market, that's a route that we use. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah. When we're riding through town, mm-hmm. we'll bump over onto Cherry and just make that straight stretch the way we go. Or maybe we're going the other way. Maybe we're going from Hoquiam into Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. Well, then we'll bump off of Simpson and we'll ride on Aberdeen Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So these kind of side streets, we call those greenways.
Mm-hmm.
Greenways are a bicycle highway that is less trafficked. It's an easier access for bicycles because, you know, for us cyclists, we can kind of take a little bit more direct routes. You know, we
right.
don't have to navigate necessarily the stop signs and the stoplights. Like
the one-way streets.
Also, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we do follow the rules of the road.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, it's more convenient. And so we're looking at these projects, and we have some of these ideas, but the biggest missing piece is an organization, a nonprofit, mm-hmm. that can be the lead, that can apply for grants, that mm-hmm. can, you know, secure this funding and direct the local municipalities into these projects that will help our communities be connected, be mm-hmm. safer, be healthier. And if you listeners out there have insight, ideas, a concept that's been brewing for a little while,
mm-hmm.
come on into the shop. Let's talk. Let's figure it out. You know, I know Mayor Winkleman in Hoquiam mm-hmm. is absolutely chomping at the bit to make Hoquiam more healthy, more active, mm-hmm. and safer.
Okay.
And I'm sure the Aberdeen mayor also. I mean, who doesn't want that?
Right. It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
I was going to say, don't get DJ started on those bike lanes.
Oh, man. You probably woke up a sleeping giant now.
You know what the hilarious part is?
What?
I was seething when those bike lanes came in.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because they don't go anywhere.
Mm.
Let's say, by chance, I'm riding my bike from Central Park to Ocean Shores.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I'm a local rider, mm-hmm. and I know my way around the streets. You couldn't pay me to jump over on Market Street mm-hmm. and ride until it just ends.
Right.
First off, it doesn't start anywhere, but they got the roundabout in, which is cool. I'm all for roundabouts.
Yeah.
But there is no safe route. And then... Now the cyclists are the target. Well, you guys got that bike lane, and you took away the extra parking. You took away the extra lane of travel.
Yeah.
No, we didn't, man. The city of Aberdeen did that years ago, and mm-hmm. kudos. Maybe they putting in that bike lane opened up some other opportunities for them. But
right.
I tell you what.
It didn't do much for the bike community then?
It did less than zero for the bike community.
Wow. Now, okay, you know bikes and you know bike routes. Where would you have put it?
I would have looked at the other side streets mm-hmm. that are less traveled by vehicles. Mm-hmm. That is, you're not going to take away a lane of travel for the vehicles. Mm-hmm. You're not going to take away parking from those vehicles. I think it's is it First Street? So that's one more street over,
mm-hmm.
And that one has it less stoplights. Mm-hmm. It has the vehicles are simply just mostly traveling through there. Mm-hmm. They're not stopping, pulling in front of businesses and whatnot, mm-hmm. making it kind of hazardous for cyclists. Because the worst thing, as you're riding in like a metropolitan area,
mm-hmm.
you're in a bike lane provided by the city,
yeah.
God bless their hearts, and you have vehicles on your left traveling. Maybe they're turning into parking lots. Maybe they're turning at the intersections.
Mm-hmm.
You have cars parked on your right. Maybe someone is parked there. Maybe they're not parked correctly. They're parking in your bike lane. Mm-hmm. Now you have people coming out of their cars. So you got to watch out for cars passing you far enough away from you on the left,
mm-hmm.
turning, crossing your lane of travel
right.
from the left, and you're looking on the right. There's doors opening. There are cars pulling out of their parking spots. Hazards. Everywhere.
So we didn't really think that out. And at least a bike person didn't think
yes.
that out.
Unfortunately not. And if you want a great example of, you know, what cycling community needs,
mm-hmm.
go hop on the Tacoma Bicycle Facebook page, mm-hmm. their group. They're always calling out little issues of infrastructure and design. Of course, up there in Tacoma, they have their infrastructure placement is way more complex than ours.
Mm-hmm.
We have all of these different side streets, and again, I would point to forgive me, Aberdeen, I'm blanking on your street names, but you know, you got the main thoroughfare Heron and Wishkaw coming through Aberdeen, then you have Market Street, you know, to the north, and then mm-hmm. one more street, is it First Street? I don't know, to the north, that would have been a better placement for a bike lane. You have the other streets down to the south of Heron that, again, they're traveled by cars straight through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's opportunities for these paths. And that's why I look at the Levee Project at maybe resolving some of those issues.
Mm-hmm.
Through into Hoquiam, from Aberdeen to Hoquiam. You got Cherry Street, you got Aberdeen Avenue. These are just straight halls,
right?
Less trafficked.
It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Hey, what's his opinion of the lights downtown not sequenced?
Oh, man.
They woke him up.
I miss that so much. Like, I get it. I understand. I understand the reasoning. There's got to be a reason. I'm going to have faith in our municipalities that there was a reason. But, yeah, absolutely. I miss thoroughly coming up there and maybe get stopped up there by Les Schwab. And then, you know, hey, as soon as those lights turn, I can put it at 28. I can put my cruise control 28, and mm-hmm. I know that every light's going to change. I
right.
miss that.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That was DJ. So I think that if there's any further discussion of proposed bike lanes and whatnot, I think that people should talk to you first before putting them in.
Absolutely. And we are excited to be involved in the process. We're looking forward to it. We will involve ourselves absolutely to provide mm-hmm. that input because we want the safest ways possible mm-hmm. and that are not going to encroach on motorists' use.
Right.
You know, these greenways, you don't have to change lanes. You don't have to reduce parking or reduce travel ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply paint
yeah.
and signage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear markings. And that can be hard, you mm-hmm. know, because, like, you're dealing with the public. Where does everybody look? Everybody looks different.
Yeah.
But then the other side of that is you got the infrastructure in the cities, but then we have our trails and our paths
mm-hmm.
kind of taking the recreation away from, you know, kids riding in the street,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we're looking at where Grays Harbor can have its first pump track.
What's a pump track?
Ooh, yeah. So imagine a skate park, mm-hmm. but for bicycles,
mm-hmm.
and mix that with kind of a motocross track. So you have these rollers and berms
mm-hmm.
where, you know, kids can ride. Every one of us has a memory of building a bike jump.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So this pump track provides that opportunity to pursue those kind of things. You know, develop some riding skills for the mountain bikers. That's what we do. Pump track, the word pump comes from the action of like using your body English and moving your bike through, you know, rolling terrain.
Right.
To generate.
Could we use the ORV park? Didn't they just like close the ORV park or something? Could we use that?
That could be used for something like that. Imagine a city park, though, where
okay.
you know, the whole community can come and join
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's kind of out of the way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit, right? You got to yeah. travel, right? So
yeah.
we're looking at recreation opportunities for families who maybe they don't have the means of, you know, putting their bikes in their car and
right.
going. Maybe they don't even have that car, you know?
Yeah.
So this is a inner city park for biking and mm-hmm. then connected to some trails close by. Those are our goals.
Where can I find your bike shop?
LaVogueCyclery.com. Our website is up. And we are located at 523 Levy Street in Hoquiam, right off the Riverside Bridge. You cannot miss us.
It's always fun to have you in here, man.